Thank you, Gonga. Thank you. Welcome all. Just slide into, well, close your eyes. Be comfortable. And then not doing anything together. It's a very sacred non-activity. Just allowing the flow of your experience moment by moment, which is not a doing. As you know, and because we're together, suddenly it's easier. Because in a way, when we come together, magically an altar appears. And we can offer to this altar whatever arises that's difficult. So here we are doing nothing, allowing the flow of experience. And suddenly a resistance arises, or you find yourself lost in a thought, some kind of difficulty that seems to engage an effort, and you just place whatever that is that has arisen on the altar. You don't have to just give it to the altar that has been created by our gathering. Or maybe it's a fire. And then you come back, you rest back in not doing, and not doing, not doing, allowing. Surrendering the resistance or the tension or whatever is sticky to the altar or to the fire is like returning that thing to God to take care of. In a way, you can surrender everything to the altar, not just the difficulty. because everything belongs to God, so, and that makes it easier. As you taste your thoughts, your sensations, feelings, as you taste the sound of this voice, you are placing that on the altar. You are offering it. To the source. You're saying, I know that this does not belong to me, the separate self. This belongs to you. The self. The one self. The invisible self. And in a way, what you're offering to the, to this altar, to this invisible self, is the separate self. Because all the separate self is made of is a cluster of experience. You're not just offering the separate self. The sound of Ellen's voice is not the separate self in your experience. It's just an experience, a tactile, alive ripple. But you don't keep it for yourself. And knowingly, you sort of dedicated to the source to which it returns. And you do the same for everything that you perceive. And of course, I started this meditation by saying not that we're doing nothing, and here I am giving you some guidelines to do something, just but really it's not a guideline, it's an attitude of the heart, so don't worry about it. Don't let it manufacture any effort. It's really more an attitude that would look like open palms, soft belly, maybe on your knees. That would be the feeling, a posture of surrender. And you start with the body, you evoke that feeling, but then it's not a feeling just for the body. It permeates. It just permeates your field, your being. And when something arises that you would ordinarily contract away from, you let that thing be met by your open palms, your soft belly. The openness that surrounds it's like a yes saying. The yes saying is natural, but we sometimes superimpose a no onto the yes. The first thing we have to find is the connection with the source. Otherwise, it's just mechanical meditation. There's nothing worse than a mechanical meditation to reinforce the separate self. We have to look for God the way a small child looks for his mother. And sometimes that's not easy. God is nowhere in sight. When I mean God, I mean, you may have other words for it, presence, consciousness, openness. Sometimes it's nowhere in sight. You're like the little child whose mother is gone. And I guess then what do? We call, we pray. We hope that Ganga isn't too far away and that her sweet voice will carry the memory, revive the pathway from the heart to the source. But really, it's the pathway from the source to the heart. When we finally can feel our longing for God, it's God longing for us. So maybe another way to enter meditation is to remember that God longs for you. Every part of you, every sensation, every feeling, not just the good feelings, everything that you experience, God, presence, the Great Mother, desires. And sometimes still we can't feel God, even hearing these words. It's difficult. And maybe then it's so important to stay so close to the difficulty, to the feeling of being cut off, or the feeling of sadness, of numbness. Something needs to be given space to. Here it's more like the child who has turned his back, her back on her mother, even though she longs for her mother's embrace. She has contracted away. And so we have to feel the feeling, I guess. The sadness, the great sadness that is underneath the contraction. The wail, the cry, the shout. Because you can be sure that when that is allowed, the body opens. And when the body opens, and by body I mean the heart, your being, breaks open, then there's a possibility for love, presence, God, to touch its creation, to embrace it. So when you feel the great opening in the form of a cry, a wail, even if it's a silent one, stay there, really feel how it opens you, it cracks you open. Don't do anything. Something happens then. Feel your body now. Feel your body. Maybe my words have stirred some layers of feelings. So the body, when I say feel the body, I mean feel the body of sensations, the physical sensations of the body, but also the emotional sensations, feelings. Feel them without referring to the image of your body, but rather feel them really as if, well, not as if, not even as if would be, I would have to then take a step, as if something, something, something. Just feel them, feel your body. without needing to read anything into what its layers are in this moment, but rather feel your body as if you were saying, "Hello, body, I'm here." I want to feel you. And at the same time, don't focus your attention too much, because that will create tension and it will frighten the body. The body will think, "Oh my God, I need to come up with something." The mind will too. So it's just more like a light attention towards the realm of sensations, feelings, pulsation, contractions too, and discomfort, so-called. The whole web that is our body and that is very alive and that we like to sort of put a lid on, because it is so very alive and intense. It's almost too much for the separate self. The separate self would rather conceptualize her body, his body, and then sort of manufacture a feeling that corresponds to the concept of the body. But here we're not doing that. We know that there isn't a separate self, and we know the body isn't a concept. And because we're together, there's a sort of safety. It's a little lull in our lives. We're not engaging with our circumstance. We're not having to deal with anything right now. We're just in a safe place that mirrors the invisible, unconditional safety of our presence. And therefore we can let this body unfold. Feel your body as if it had infinite space to play in, to express itself in, without moving for now. To do what it knows to do. So for example, feel wherever the body would like to release weight, give it permission. And now I'm going to guide you, because we have so much conditioned habits of holding the weight that it's almost like I have to take us by the hand, or, you know, I because I'm guiding, but you would do the same and visit, for example, the shoulders. Just go to the raw sensation of the shoulders without seeing the shoulders, without, just go there and feel that you encourage the shoulders to surrender to gravity. There might be a little alignment, realignment of the back, or something might shift a bit. You might change the position of your arms, but just then feel the sensations of the shoulders just moving down. And maybe then the whole length of your arms, don't see the arms, feel them. The left arm, drop the left arm through the left hand, and then do the same with the right arm, but gently. You know, it's not a doing. I said drop the arm, but really don't. It's more like saying, "Hey, arms, you can flow." And then feel the same with the legs. Feel your left leg however it's resting, if you're sitting on a chair or if you're sitting on the floor, let it meet the earth. But then you wait, you just listen. What does that mean directly? Whoa, what if I let my left leg sort of disassociate from me, the separate one? I don't really need my left leg right now. So I can let it drop, the left hip. And now the right leg, feel the same. You might notice a difference when you switch to the right, just from that very tiny suggestion. Now the right leg, the right hip, the thigh, the knee, the calf, the ankle, the foot. But then don't think, don't see, just feel. And because you don't live in the body, but the body lives in you, so operate the switch, really feel, I don't live in the body, which is the usual way we feel. Feel the body lives in me, so the legs, they're living in me, hanging in me. The arms are hanging in me. Long arms, long legs, whoa. Don't be scared to let them, I don't know, flow, expand. Now feel that your face, there's a lot of areas in your face that might like to release a bit of weight, like your jaw, feel your lower jaw. Don't do anything mechanically, just feel your lower jaw. And don't see it, that's important. And then see how gravity just takes the lower part of your jaw, your teeth, your tongue. It might not be, it might be intense or uncomfortable, but just be curious. And now your eyelids, if you can feel your eyelids, like two curtains dropping. Don't force it, it might not be easy. And if it's not easy, you just welcome whatever. Whatever. And your forehead may want to melt down as well. And your brain inside your skull might be saying, can I do that too, please? I'm so sick of being propped up all day long on behalf of the separate self, thinking, thinking, thinking. Could I please just relax? So feel your brain inside your skull. Whatever you feel, it's correct. And just, you just send a tactile message. You can release down, down, down. And the earth is not hard. So maybe feel that too, the earth under the body. If it feels hard, it's a projection of the mind. If you go to the raw, raw sensation, to begin with, the mind reads hard, but then you just stay with the sensation. Evoke cloud-like, soft cushion, supporting the body with extreme kindness. Don't let the pain that you may feel contradict what Ellen is saying. Yes. And then maybe gently, without pushing at all, feel that the spine, which you may not feel, you may not feel the spine, or maybe you feel a little bit of a sort of line of energy, a verticality whatever you feel that may be called the spine. And even if you don't feel it, evoke that it's rising up at the same time as the limbs are dropping down. There's a current, a line of energy rising up right in the center of the body. All this is lines of sensation, so if you visualize the body, it's not going to be helpful. Feel like as if you could feel the ceiling with the top of your head. Top of the head very alive. Now feel your whole body. Feel it as one mass of sensation, one global mass of vibration. Floating in openness. Openness permeating it. Now gently, because I know the body likes to move, mind does. Feel your forearms moving away from your lap and your shoulders rising up very slowly. It's the first time, you've never done this before. Shoulders rising up towards your ears. And then the ripple descends, the shoulders moving back down slowly. Smooth and effortless. Welcome the tension that is liberated. There's no psychology. It's just ripples of sensations being liberated. Now draw your elbows away from your torso, right and left, as if you're unfolding your wings. Make sure your forearms are completely relaxed, and then trace little circles with your elbows. Don't see your arms, just feel weightless, ripple, slow, smooth. Now bigger, big circles, so that the shoulders are also drawing circles. But see if you can still maintain the feeling light, weightless, free. And I know there's layers of tension that are surfacing. That's okay. Now the other way. When the layers of tension surface, you put them on the altar. Yes, now let the arms go. Slowly, let them go, wherever they go. Breath is supporting the exploration. Make sure it's allowed, the wave of the in-breath, the wave of the out-breath. The in-breath can permeate the body wherever it needs a little support. You just send your breath there. Long inhale, long exhale. Now we do circles with the neck, slowly. First you let your chin drop. And then smooth circle. Don't do it, or feel that you're not doing it. Welcome all the little creaks and hiccups, they're little, beautiful little sensations that you surrender to the open space. There's no anticipation. You are the presence in which this ripple unfolds. You have no agenda, you're just tasting every little moment. As soon as you feel yourself located in the head, switch, feel yourself as a space. Tasting whatever is here to be tasted, now changing the direction. But nobody did it. Nowhere to go. Yes, this now the head coming back, disappearing, let it disappear all by itself into you. You're the borderless space in which the body cannot wait to return to. Let it return more. Your shoulders, drop them. When you surrender the weight of the body, you're returning the body to the borderlessness. Feel your arm, your right arm, and let your right arm very slowly, but it's a sensation, float up into the space in front. No, we're not seeing it, we're just feeling it. On the horizontal plane, the right arm, fingers extended, touching the wall in front. It's a line of energy. Now dropping the right shoulder into the torso. I know it might be burning a bit, but stay a little longer. Left arm dropping into the left arm. And now slowly, slowly the right arm dissolves back down. No rush. It's not a right arm, it's an amazing flow of sensation. Let it be eaten by the openness. You're feeding the openness with your right arm. And after the physical movement stops, listen even more intently to the right arm and to the space around it. And to your whole body, without analyzing, without judging. And now the left arm floating up into the space in front, slowly. It's lifted by a cloud, so it's no effort, no weight, long left arm. Long fingers touching the wall in front. Surrender the posture to the openness. Yes, the left arm comes back. Catch that separate self that anticipates, that gets bored. What is it made of? The boredom. The anticipation, it's going to be a layer of feeling. And now the whole torso, make it trace a circle. Your eyes stay closed. Slow and smooth, like as if you were tracing the edges of a bowl, the rim of a bowl with your torso. The hips are open. The shoulders open, the belly soft, the face soft. And then don't do it, just feel caressed by the ripples of movement. Yes, now let the torso move without knowing how or where or when. Just torso is being rippled by currents. Whole body is just rippling. Let it ripple. There's no hard edges. There's no solid matter, just a substance that can ripple and flow. Now feel your arms beginning to ripple too. They might move away from your torso. Your hands, your head. Just see what happens if you let your whole body be rippled. Slow it down so that you can really allow it to happen rather than doing it. As if you were surfing the ripple. And the breath is marrying the movement. And I don't know why I'm doing this, and it doesn't matter. And again, everything coming back, dissolving back into the openness. The stillness. Make sure that when the body comes back to stillness, there's not a shutting in or a gathering in or enclosing myself in the body. I am this open space. Especially when I'm here in the shrine and there's no reason to be guarded. There's no reason to adopt a boundaried posture. Here in the shrine, I can reconnect so intimately with the space, the air, the touch, the texture of the earth, the texture of Ellen's voice, my body of sensations, everything mingles. There's no borders. In the shrine, we can let go of borders, of boundaries. Out there in the marketplace, they can be useful to put on. But here, on a tactile level, feel that it's allowed to merge and mix and swim with everything that is encountered. In a way, what I'm saying is there's no really an inside and an outside. It's just what is. Or there's everything appears inside me. awareness. All is well when we see that and feel that. Or at least when we're open to that. And so if there is a feeling of being bordered, boundaries, limited, just shine a very gentle, kind light on that feeling. See that it's a perception appearing in that which perceives, alongside the sound of Ellen's voice and the sound of the birds, if you hear them. So when you connect with what the feeling of being boundary really is, the feeling of being separate, and when you see that it's just a sort of density, a sensation that is got a kind of density to it, so then kindly, lovingly, you can place it. Where it's already placed, but it's like you indicate, look, you're surrounded with kindness. You can relax. And if it's the mind that's weaving its, knitting its story with the thread of the past and the thread of the future, you can take the knitting, what are they called? Knitting sticks? No, I don't think they're called sticks. I don't knit, but the knitting things. The one that's for the past and the one that's for the future, you take them away. You confiscate them from the mind. And you tell the mind, if you can't refer to the past and you can't refer to the future, if you can't knit with the past and the future, then is there a lot to think about? Not much, right? And again, it's not to say that we mustn't think, and we all do think, and it's very good to think, but it's also very good sometimes to come here and confiscate the knitting needles, that's it. And just see that when we don't refer to the past and the future, there's not too much lacking. Another trick when you find yourself thinking too much, which perpetuates that one around whom the thoughts revolve, which which then perpetuates feelings in the body that ping pong with the thoughts and maintain and perpetuate a feeling of being a person. So that ain't too good to leave unnoticed. It's good to notice, especially when we come here together. And so another trick when the mind's busy is take the thought, the thinking, and trace it to the thinkingness, which is a feeling, a sensation located in the head, because that's where we feel that the thinker lives. So you go from thinking, from thoughts to thinking, and from thinking to thinkingness, the feeling of thinking. Literally feel, you go there with your tactile sense in between your temples, behind your forehead, and you just feel like the buzz, the tension there that's that's the activity of thinking in the body. And then you just feel it, and then you take it in your arms and your hands, this feeling, this thinking feeling, and you, I don't know, see what happens. Maybe you massage it. Maybe you lick it, for all I know. Comb it, find a special comb and you comb it out. Place it into the openness. Give it back to God, your brain. And make sure when you do these little tantric exercises that you don't stay too long focused on an area, then you move back. You widen your focus. You relax back, and then you welcome the totality of your experience. You bring everything back to the totality. Oh, you're very good listeners, guys, because I've been talking a lot today, but let's finish with just gentle breathing in and out, which you already are doing. But just feel with your in-breath, you're just really allowing the breath to caress you and to permeate yourself with yourself. And with the out breath, it's really following the out breath without pushing and letting that out breath teach you something. And then the next in breath, just really following it so closely, yet not pulling. And the pause. And then the out breath, long, smooth. And the pause, and the breath is a teacher. The breath is the teacher because it reveals the places where the separate breather comes in. The moment where you pull or you push or you hold. And that's not a judgment. There's no judgment. It's the gift of the breath. That it revealed that little moment. The fact that it was revealed is enough. No, don't do anything. Just relax, we'll take a few moments. I don't know if Ganga feels like singing something. We'll take 5 minutes and come back. Go gently, maybe stay like this, whatever feels right. Come back in 5 minutes. You didn't sing Ganga. I think we don't have time now.
No, I wasn't sure if you wanted me to sing, so.
We always want you to sing the next. It's so lovely. The next time. I think it's not quite 5 minutes, but I realize it's a little short, the time left. So let's just start, open it up. Hi, Ursi. Nice to see you. So if anybody wants to ask a question or share something, feel free. Don't be shy. And you just wave, or you can, let's see, you can thingy the little Ursi, go ahead.
I thought now I know why I didn't come for so long. Now I'm just so, this meditation has brought me to such a relaxation, which I haven't had for a year maybe, and how much sadness comes up with it, and how I don't want to feel that sadness, so I don't want to relax. And it's like this both sides so strongly here that I would love to relax so much, and on the other hand, I want to hold on to get control over it, what's going on. So this, it's like this tearing,
No, go ahead, Ursi, finish what you were going to say.
The sadness feels good in one way, and it feels almost overwhelming, like I could just blast right now. So
I wish you could blast, and we would just come close. We wouldn't come too close if you didn't want to, but we'd come just close enough and you could blast. I think we all need that sometimes. Yeah. Just, yeah.
It's like this holding myself together for a year. Just feels like I just want to scream. And it's screaming like, just take me, just take me.
We're right there with you. We're just right here with you.
Thank you.
I really mean it, and I wish we could really be with you physically. And of course, there's more than us being with you, you know.
I know. Thank you.
Yeah.
And I love the birds. Do you understand my accent? The birds.
The what?
The birds. The birds singing.
Oh, the birds.
Yeah. Because they also remind me when I lived in Switzerland, and Switzerland is still also home, and I feel like I haven't been home here for a long time. So
we hear you, Ursi. I know everybody's with you. Just this wave of
thank you. It's like all opening up.
But it's just so good to do that, and it, you said, you know, you so want to relax, but then there's the sadness, but then the sadness is so, so important, and it's you, and it's your heart, and it's unique. We the world needs your sadness. It's not just sadness, it's you. It's so, you have something, it's your longing, it's you.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm very grateful for this.
Mm. Welcome back, okay?
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Ursi, for sharing yourself like that. It feels a bit abrupt to have to leave, to go to somebody else, but we're all one being, so we go, but we stay. Anna, bless you.
Thank you.
Which one is Anna? Anna, go ahead and unmute yourself. And I'll mute you, whoever that was. Is that you? Hi, Anna. There you go. Hi.
Okay. My name is pronounced Amna.
Amna, okay. Yes. I can see the M. I'm blind. Yes, Amna.
No, you're fine. So there are a couple of things. The first one is I love that when you use the word openness for God, that that's really sweet for me. Like I felt an openness to that. And then the second thing is, like in the meditation, like there's like, it kind of feels like I'm about to fall asleep. like there's a, like my body becomes heavy. And I was noticing like, that's why I don't like attending meditations like this, or like I avoid meditations. So is there anything you could say about that?
I think you should let yourself fall asleep, perhaps. And trust that you'll come around, you'll wake up at another moment. And because maybe there's a resistance and you're fighting the resistance. There's a struggle going on. You're trying to stay awake and it's a struggle. And I'm thinking maybe don't struggle. Stay with the meditation when you can, and when you feel you're moving away, just move away. Don't force yourself. Stay with when it resonates. The word openness resonates. It brings something, lands a quality, an open, you know, something in you resonates and responds, and maybe then you're with the meditation for a little bit, and then you feel the whatever, boredom, heaviness, sleepiness. And don't fight too hard then, I would say. Even take a break and come back.
Why not fight?
Because you would be adding more resistance to already existing resistance. I could contradict that and say that when you feel the heaviness, face it. And if it's boredom, for example, explore it for a little while, see what it's made of, the heaviness, the tiredness, and if it's boredom, see that it's a sensation, it's a feeling that has a little bit of a psychological quality, a separate self. I'm bored, I'm tired, I don't like this. So give it a little bit of time to really see it, because that is one aspect of the separate self. But then be kind to get, yeah, also be kind, be gentle, no fighting, no spiritual, you know, what's the word, warrior, the missionaries, no. Approach it gently. That's my advice.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I mean, you know, I sometimes feel myself like Ellen, and I have to be honest, I can't help it, but these meditations are very intense. I know they are sometimes, because we're not moving and we're going very deep and for quite a long time. So I'm not surprised that it's demanding sometimes. Anna.
Yeah, hi Ellen.
Hi Anna.
Yeah, it was particularly helpful on three things, three images. One was when you mentioned the word cloud and pillow. I think you mentioned pillow because I'm definitely the warrior type, the let's go and conquer and get it done. And I also really appreciated when you mentioned take a break. You know, like sometimes I feel like I'm drilling into something. So it was very refreshing to really sense, okay, you know, like waltzing, let's take a little visit and take a break and then let's revisit. So I really got a taste of
good.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think it's very good to not, yeah, to just give yourself permissions in every direction to sometimes take a break, sometimes don't take a break and face the desire to take a break. These yoga meditations, they're really explorations. I give guidelines, but you should all feel free to follow the guidelines or not follow the guidelines. But then it's a matter of honesty and integrity with what brings you here, which is your desire for truth and your desire to liberate yourselves from the constraint of the belief in separation. That's what brings you here, I think. So as long as that, you keep that in mind so that you don't, so that if during the meditations you indulge the separate self, for example, you get lost in a thinking for too long, or you're just like, I can't stand this, I want it for too long. At some point you're like, well, you know what, actually, let's investigate this expression of separation. And so you do, but then hopefully the meditation takes you, like you said, the cloud cushion image really took you. You know, sometimes the images I give are going to be helpful, and that's also very nice. Sometimes they don't work, and that, so it's like you have to explore, and that sounds like what you were doing, Anna.
It was such a beautiful contrast between tension and receiving it with gentleness. Mm. I thought, wow, that's interesting, you know, like just sitting with it. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you, Anna.
Thank you.
Tana, is it Tana? Tana Bloom, where are you? Please unmute yourself and feel free.
Taina.
Yeah.
hello.
Hello.
I really enjoyed it.
Is it your first time, Taina?
Yeah. I've listened to a couple before. It's the first time I've joined. Mm. The thing that seemed to resonate the most was the knitting needle analogy. And for some reason it really affected me, you know, brought some emotion. I think it's just because when I go into thinking, I always kind of chastise myself for it, and and that took all that away. Mm. It wasn't me at all, you know, so. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, we can chastise ourselves a great deal, can't we? Especially, well, not especially, but very much in the spiritual.
Yeah.
Whatever, what would the word be? The sort of on the path, or
yeah.
Oh my God! I mean, we are ruthless with ourselves. It's terrible.
So yeah.
Well, it's nice to meet you and nice to have
thank
you.
Thank you.
How did you come through? What, Rupert or?
Yeah, I was. I met a lady called, I think it was Helen.
Okay, Helen Shamroth. Yeah.
Yeah. She told on Rupert's retreats, and she told me about your sessions.
Mm. Nice to have you.
Yeah. Thank you. Nice to be here.
Corinne, who's not with us, sent me a poem. I thought I might read it. But first, I want to make sure there's not anybody else who wants to speak. Claire, yes?
Hi.
Hi.
I just want to express my gratitude for today. It was just wonderful. And I went to Ganga Mas Kirtan in Rishikesh, and then having you two in the same space, like you teaching us and her singing, I just arrived last minute and it was just wonderful and gave this cheerful note to my meditation today. So it was wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah, Gangas, it's nice to have you, Ganga. Well, we're thinking maybe we'll do a retreat together at some point, so we'll let you know. Thank you, Claire. Shall I read a poem that Corinne sent? I think Corinne's missing coming because she's traveling, and so she she sent me this poem. The computer's making a noise. Can you hear that? I think it's overheating. No, it's okay. All right. It's a poem called A Gift by Denise Levertov. A gift. Just when you seem to yourself nothing but a flimsy web of questions, you are given the questions of others to hold in the emptiness of your hands. Songbird eggs that can still hatch if you keep them warm. Butterflies opening and closing themselves in your cupped palms, trusting you not to injure their scintillant fur, their dust. You are given the questions of others as if they were answers to all you ask. I see. You are given the questions of others as if they were answers to all you ask. Yes, perhaps this gift is your answer. I'm not sure it's connected to our meditation, but it's a lovely poem. Leslie, do you have a poem?
No, I don't. But Corinne sent me that one today too, and I love
it.
Well, she sent another one. I wonder, like, if I could find it, I could try reading it. There's time. It's her birthday today, by the way.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah.
There's time for a poem, right, guys? What? You can go if you have to.
Okay, let me give this a try. Mindful, it's called. Every day I see or hear something that more or less kills me with delight, that leaves me like a needle in the haystack of light. It was what I was born for, to look, to listen, to lose myself inside this soft world, to instruct myself over and over in joy and acclimation. Nor am I talking about the exceptional, the fearful, the dreadful, the very extravagant, but of the ordinary, the common, the very drab, the daily presentations. Oh, good scholar, I say to myself, how can you help but grow wise with such teachings as these? The untrimmable light of the world, the ocean's shine, the prayers that are made out of grass. And that's the dear Mary Oliver.
She is dear, isn't she?
Yes.
Thank you very much, Leslie.
You are very welcome. I've never read poems before in my life out loud, but
you're a good reader.
I do it.
All right, everyone. Thank you for coming. Thank you, thank you.
Thank you. It's lovely. Thank you, Ganga.
Thank you, Ganga. Feel free to unmute yourselves if you want to shout out.
Thank you. Thank you, Ganga.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ellen and Ganga.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ursi, for sharing yourself. So.
Yeah. Thank you, Ursi.
Thank you, Ellen.
Ellen, I just wonder if we could have the name of the poems or the name of the poems again.
Yes, and I'll include them in the email.
Okay, great.
But the one I read was called The Gift by Denise Levertov, but I'll include them in the email that I sent.
Okay, great. Thanks.
And the other one was Mindful by Mary Oliver.
Mindful. Oh, okay.
Yeah. It was a nice one.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah. All righty. Ciao.
Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye.